Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, let's go. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. This platform is dedicated to you, industry hero. I'm pointing at you in the video. I'm pointing at you. That's right. You are bold. You are brave. You dare greatly. You innovate, and you're changing the world, and you're changing people's lives each and every day. And that's why we celebrate you. And you can't come to me and say, Scott, I don't think we should celebrate industry professionals. You can't. You can't say that about manufacturing professionals because they're wonderful too. Everybody in this particular industry, wonderful, wonderful. Now we're going to be talking about cybersecurity, and you're saying to yourself, Scott, I don't want to talk cybersecurity. You're going to have to. Digital transformation demands that we have this candid conversation. It is super duper important. We can't let our guard down. And that's why people like Vincent Scott, he is the founder of Defense Cybersecurity Group. And you know what he brings to the table? Freaking credibility. Let's get cracking. Yeah, we've got to have this conversation. We've got to have this cybersecurity conversation. There are some things that you can do right now to help beef up that protection. And if you're going down this road of digital transformation, which you are, because that is already, that juggernaut is already headed on down the track, and you're going to have to either jump aboard or you're going to be chasing it and you're never going to catch it. How about that for a word picture? I like that one. And Vincent Scott, a man with two first names in his name, he doesn't hold back. He knows his stuff when it comes to cyber. You go out to his LinkedIn stat card, which I'll have that at industrialtalk.com, as you know, and reach out to him. You'll see that, yeah, he's definitely smarter than me, which is, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but boy, he is something else. And we're talking about things that you can do right now, today, absolutely, without a doubt, and it is a must focus for you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You want to go down this digital transformation world, you're going to have to be able to up your doggone cyber game. All right, let's get on with the interview. Vincent Scott, that's V-I-N-C-E-N-T, last name Scott. Good looking because he's got the Scott last name, good looking like me. And he'll have all the information out there. He is an absolute... I'm just telling you, you're not going to be disappointed. So enjoy the conversation with Vincent Scott. All right, Vincent, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. An absolute honor. An absolute honor that you've joined this particular platform and is going to share your insights and wisdom and everything that is cybersecurity related with the listeners. And he's also been in the military. Thank you for your service. How you doing, Vincent?
Another beautiful day here in Oklahoma.
It's getting cold there, right? It's got to be getting
cold. It's been pretty chilly, but it's actually a pretty day out.
Yeah, down here, it's as I turn my head, if you're watching out on the video, yeah, it's a good day there too. It's Louisiana. It could be 75 degrees tomorrow, but I take it as it comes. All right, for the listeners out there, now we're going to be talking a little bit about cybersecurity. We're going to talk a little bit about the strategies associated with it. This is an important conversation, and I will quote a famous individual right now. Right now, I'm going to quote him. Truth we don't want to know. You know who said that? That's right, Vincent Scott. How you doing? Let's give us a little background. Give us a little background on that.
Sure. As you said, my name is Vince Scott. I am a retired U.S. Navy cryptologist and information warfare officer. I actually retired 10 years ago. I've been working in government contracting and commercial industry for that last 10 years. I've done a lot of different kinds of things in a lot of different industries, but really all focused on cybersecurity. Really my active duty time, all about offense. I like to say I used to play offense and now I coach defense. Once I retired, I went to Oklahoma State and really began to get into the cyber defense game and looking at how we were doing against defending against advanced attacks. And then took that through the last 10 years, I've been gaining experience and really had my feet in the trenches of our ongoing cyber war to defend American companies.
Outside of the fact that you mentioned cryptologist, I want to say that that's dead sexy. it's just dead sexy.
That you may be the first person to say that, because I get a lot of cryptologists. That sounds technical. It sounds like somebody who lives in a room with no windows and doesn't talk to girls very often.
It's probably true. However, it's still dead sexy, man. I got to tell you, I think that that is. Now, this is interesting because one of the things that nobody wants to talk about, as your thing, nobody wants to talk cybersecurity. It is a big, big challenge out there. And when you start talking about playing defense versus offense and all and everything in between, this is what bothers me. We all can just play defense, but it never stops. The offense keeps on coming at you. It just keeps changing. It looks different. It might go this way, that way, whatever it is. And you've got to be on your A game all of the time. And I want to play offense sometimes, damn it.
Yes, there are a lot of laws against playing offense. There's some significant constraints there. However, I think active defense is something that companies can approach. I like to talk about cybersecurity is something you do. It's not something we have. All too often, we think about it as a thing that I have. I've checked the block. I had a director in the finance organization of a Fortune 50 company look at me and say, "Now, when is the investment in cybersecurity going to be over?"
See, it's the
damn. And I'm like, I'm sorry to tell you, that day is not coming. Right, it's not going to be over. Unfortunately, based on the kinds of attacks that we've got going on in industry in America today, every company is under threat. A lot of people like to talk about those companies who've been hacked and those that don't know it yet. Every company is at risk. And I think we all have to be raising our level of play in order to better defend our companies and our critical infrastructure.
So in the case of the pandemic, you know, we've been hit by the two-finger COVID death punch back in 2020. 2021's different, folks. Let's make it a good year. Now, with that, what are the stats that you're seeing from a cybersecurity perspective back when, I mean, we're all at home. We've just changed. Things are different. It's just a whole different world. What are you seeing in the world of cyber?
Yeah, I think it's opened up new attack vulnerabilities, a new attack surface potentially for a lot of companies by having so many people work from home. Yeah. In a lot of ways, though, I don't think that's a huge change, because most companies had some work from home going on already. And if you didn't have your remote work environment secured, then that had already been a problem. And maybe you have more people working remotely more often, but I don't think that's really the huge change that so many people like to make it out to be, just from my perspective. I think that the game is fundamentally the same, in that, as you said, Scott, they are continuously trying to attack us. They are knocking on the door every day in different ways and looking to find different ways in order to penetrate your organization and, you know, collect, disrupt, destroy your information and your information systems.
I will never ever understand that mindset. I will never understand. I just don't understand the passion to destroy. I don't understand. There's probably dollars associated with it, but I'll just never understand it.
Yeah, I think some of the people, as we talked about a little bit before the podcast started, are fundamentally evil, right? An organization who hacks a vaccine developer in order to leak those documents modified to undermine confidence in the global vaccine creation. To me, I look at that and go, that's just evil. How could you possibly do such a thing? Yeah. Now, I will say that offense is way more fun than defense. Right? Because if you're on offense, you can run 100 plays, and if you score on only one, you're a hero.
Yeah, it's true.
If you're on defense and you run 100 plays and you stop the attack on 99, but fail on one, you're a zero. Yeah. Yeah. Right. You failed to meet standards. What the heck? Why did you let this happen? Right. And so
spot on.
Defense is a world filled with opportunities to fail, and offense is a world filled with opportunities to succeed. Right. Which is more fun?
It's true. It's true. I can't argue about that. You're absolutely correct about it. Now, this is where I see the resources. Let's say I'm a big company. I've got resources. I got my big company hat on. I got the resources, and I keep on just sort of investing. I got the cash. I got everything, right? And I know that there's some vulnerabilities. Me personally have a passion for, let's say, smaller companies, because I don't think they're at a disadvantage. They just are. And if I look at it from a whole pie perspective, big companies represent maybe a smaller percentage. Smaller companies, mid-sized companies fill out that pie. And so for me, being nefarious and a nasty person and evil, I'm going to go after that particular portfolio and see what I can do and then be able to sort of penetrate there. I don't have the ability to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's a significant challenge, right? And how does a small company better defend itself? And I honestly think that cloud really does offer better protection for small companies if used smartly. So there's a lot of conversation in the security world about cloud-based applications and things that go on versus on-premises where I can control this myself. And I think I see this more in the medium-sized space where they've bought a server rack and they put some stuff up, et cetera. I would actually encourage those companies to leverage cloud, because Google's going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on defense, right?
Yeah.
You're not. And so to the extent that you can find ways to leverage those capabilities, the better off you're going to be.
I love that.
The second thing I think you should do is you got to do what you can do, right? You're not going to be able to have, the U.S. Navy's cyber defensive operations legion protecting your small business, right? You're a 5-person company and you're not hiring 5 more people just to do your cyber defense.
Yeah.
Not happening.
Because there's no ROI on it, because you made it.
Yeah.
There's no ROI.
Yeah, right. I can't do this. I love it. I hear you. But that just ain't happening, man. But what you can do are the basics, and do the basics well. And one of the things I like to talk about is fundamental blocking and tackling in cyber. So no NFL coach ever went to the podium and said, man, we lost the game based on the double trick reverse play. What do they always say? I didn't control the line of scrimmage. Yeah. We didn't tackle in the open field, and we fumbled the ball.
Yeah, we failed in our fundamentals.
We failed in our fundamentals.
Yep.
Every time, or almost every time, right?
Yep.
And so, I think in cyber, a lot of times, and this is a particular disease that can happen in medium and larger companies. Ooh, it's about the newest and coolest thing. No, it's not. Fundamentals.
I have a hard time with that. I love the newest and fun.
Yeah, no.
I get distracted by that little shiny object out there.
I've heard about this on the news. This is the greatest and newest thing. So one of the things that happens for, you said something key earlier, those big companies, they've got it all. Yes, they do. But I will tell you that the it that they have, the cybersecurity tools and things they've purchased that they think are buying them security, aren't, in the vast majority of cases, not 50%. I'm talking 85 or 95%. My experience is that most security tools are only optimized at 5% of their full capability. 95% of their capability is left sitting on the table.
What do you mean? They buy these tools and they don't implement it fullest effect?
They don't configure it.
See,
they don't implement it, and they don't understand that what is my corresponding manpower requirement to actually realize the results of this tool. And so they throw it on the existing headcount and say, here's another tool, here's another tool, here's another tool. And that existing headcount gets full up. And then those tools are there. They report to the board of directors. Look at all the great stuff we got. And this is awesome. My favorite one of these is data loss prevention, DLP. It's a tool that's in the marketplace. You hear a lot about it. The vast majority of DLP implementations are worthless. I mean, literally at Fortune 500 company, I've gone in and seen a DLP implementation that was only the only keywords they were looking for were cussing. So if you said an inappropriate word in your email, it would pick that up. But then the results and alerts for that were going to a file that no one ever looked at. There was no person to look at that file and actually track that stuff down.
Absolutely.
But on their slide that goes up to the board of directors and says, how we doing? They go, DLP, we got that running. Check. We're preventing the loss of data from our company. No, you're not. You're not preventing anything. But you've certainly spent money on a tool. And so I really like the fundamental blocking and tackling approach. Don't add a new tool unless you really can realize the value add and the ROI for that and understand what that is and be able to look at those things in some kind of fashion and really evaluate what am I getting out of this.
So here's some insights. First off, listeners, we got a couple of things right here. Let's consider cloud protection. Look into that. That's important as well. Do what you can do. And I think what I'm hearing Vincent talk, or he's talking about basic blocking and tackling, a doable thing to try, right? I mean, you're just out there. But here's one of the complaints. So I get this. First off, I get hey, we're deploying this cybersecurity stuff, right? And granted, you're never going to have any ROI. It's going to be out forever, right? It's going to try to, and you're always going to be playing defense. And so that stinks. The second thing that I always hear is people, the end user who's trying to do work, right, is constantly being interrupted by whatever cyber tools that are being deployed, and they're getting frustrated and they're getting pissed off because I can't do my job. There's a fine balance between continuity of business, protection of business in a way. And it's like, those are the two ends of that. You know, you got to find that that balance.
You got to find that balance point. And too many security guys, gals, people want to, in my view, often implement security procedures that have high user impact and low return from a real security perspective. And that's a place where, that's part of the leadership management executive team's job is to say, you know, I hear you on that, but no, we're not going to do that. Let's find something that we can do that can reduce our risk and not have that kind of impact on our users. I think those things are out there. And as you said, we got to balance that.
You do. And you have to, but again, you have to be engaged. You can't just say, hey, look at us. We just deployed this particular tool. It's out there and never visit it again. Right. It's a strategy. You got to get out there. You got to be engaged and you got to look at it and be able to continue to sort of balance it and recognize, just embrace the fact that you're going to be playing defense and you're going to have to do it. And you're going to have to, I love the cloud solution. You're absolutely spot on when we're talking about sending something, and it's only going to get better. It's only going to get stronger. It's it's going to be the Steve Austin of where you store your stuff. It's a better deal. So those are cool solutions. I like it.
Yeah. So things like Microsoft's has a number of Office 365, et cetera. Their security options for that are only getting better and better and taking advantage of those things that are out there. And the big investment that a company like Microsoft can make that you can't make and leveraging that is really important for small and medium-sized business.
I'm telling you, that's a silver lining, my friend. I like that. I like that a lot. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about, I'm a small to mid-sized company and I do a lot of, government type work. What are you seeing out there from my interaction with the government from a cyber perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. That's a great question, Scott. The Department of Defense is changing the game in cybersecurity for the defense industrial base. And the way they're doing that is by inserting accountability into the process. So the Department of Defense came out with standards based around NIST 800-171 in 2015 and said, you've got 3 years to implement this. By 1 January 2018, all companies that work for the Department of Defense or tiered subcontractors that work for the Department of Defense that have sensitive unclassified information were supposed to be compliant with this standard. But it was a 100% trust, no verify architecture. And what the DoD has rightly come to the realization of is that no one was doing it. And now DoD has done two things to really start driving compliance and accountability across the defense industrial base. The first thing is they put out two new rules, 30 November, that essentially say, turn your homework in and tell us how you've done against these standards that we put out previously. DFAR 7012, for those who are tracking on that. Tell us how you're doing against those 110 controls that if you're a defense contractor, you're supposed to be doing. Don't care how you're doing per se, just tell us honestly how you're doing and tell us when you think you're going to be completely implemented with this, even though we know you were supposed to be completely implemented 1 January 2018. As long as you tell us you've got a plan, you're good. Now, that's an interesting accountability point because companies are now having to look at this, assess where they're at, and tell the DoD where they're at. The second thing that they have done is they have developed a new standard that incorporates the old 171 stuff completely, and they put out a new five-level maturity model standard for all of the defense industrial base and said, we are going to be implementing this over the next 5 years. Starting this year, we've got the first 15 contracts are going to come out that require this. So not very many, but it's coming. And in order to win work in that new framework, you are going to have an independent third-party assessment of your compliance to the new standard.
Come on, man. As a business owner, right? Me being a business owner, man. That is like, it's even worse than that. It's like, how the hell do I get a handle on this? Understand it. How do I succeed? How long will it take me? How much money will it cost me? It just goes on and on. And where's my first step outside of reading the document and saying I got to do it?
Ugh. Yeah, really. Well, so I really think your first step is the DoD has said in that first part where I said, turn your homework in, that they will not award a new contract, an option year, an extension to anyone and then that flows down to the subcontracts too. Right. So you can find yourself a second or third tier sub. Don't really think of yourself as a DoD company and be impacted by this. You got to get your homework turned in. If you haven't done anything, you need to do something. You need to look at that standard and you need to turn your homework in. And if you don't know how to do that, hire somebody to help you do it and get that done, because that could potentially impact what you have in your pipeline. Now, there's some caveats where you don't always have to turn your homework in and blah, blah, blah.
Of course.
If I'm a company owner, I'm not taking that risk on what's in my pipeline. Okay. I'm getting my homework done and I'm going to make sure it's turned in so that when it comes up, I'm good. And I'm not going to lose out on my next $1 million deal that I've spent, because it's government and it takes it forever, the last 2.5 years working on, and get down to that point and then have the contracting officer say, well, you know, you didn't have your homework turned in, so I went to the next qualified bidder.
Wow.
Oh, no, don't let that happen to you.
Please.
Right?
Oh, man.
So step one, get your homework turned in. There are some caveats there and some times where you may want to hold off on turning your homework in, depending on where you stand and what's in the pipeline and all that. Talk to an expert to get some advice, right? Because this is a complex bureaucratic thing.
Yeah. I'll even simplify it. Okay. If you're doing work with the government, you got to find an expert. How's that? Just do it. Don't even try to do it on your own, because you're not going to.
Well, experts cost money though. And I understand if I'm a two-person shop, I may want to try and do it myself, and you can, right? The homework is called a basic self-assessment, the documentation on what it means, et cetera. But you got to invest your own time then to go figure all this stuff out and get your homework turned in accurately to the government.
Let me ask you this. Why all of a sudden the government is interested in making sure that these contractors are buttoned down pretty and according to some sort of cybersecurity level? What happened?
I don't think it's all of a sudden. I'm sure we've all heard of SolarWinds now, right? That's a great example of a broad hack across industry and government that has happened. But there's been years of things that have gone on, right? We had a contractor who had NSA's offensive tools on his laptop, and those all got stolen, right? And those underlie some of the biggest vulnerabilities and breaches that have happened in the last 5 years, right? We've had contractors with very, very sensitive government unclassified information relative to weapons programs. Yeah. I mean, have you looked at, you know, the new Chinese joint strike fighter versus ours?
It looks the same.
They look like they came out of the same factory, right?
Yeah.
There's clear, and that's not the only one, right? There's a number of weapon systems that clearly, you know, we've ingested what the work that was already done and paid for by the U.S. Department of Defense and built that into our foreign adversaries' weapons and capabilities, right? So this has clearly been known for a while. The department has its own problems. They need to do better themselves on how they defend themselves and hold on to their unclassified information, particularly. But this is now the point in which we have said, all right, in order to get this done, and the reasons that you stated about it's hard, it's expensive, it's the last thing I want as a business owner, it's the truth I don't want to know because that's going to cost me money, and really, it's not going to make my product any better. Antivirus never made my laptop faster and made my user happier, right? Never. It made lightweight if you talk to an industry vendor, but right. it's never zero, right? And there's a flip side to that argument with antivirus. I would argue, well, if you don't do antivirus at all, guess what? That laptop over the course of 6 months may become almost unusable because it's got so much crap on it, right? Yeah. And how do you measure the value to your end user who doesn't realize this, right? They just realize that when McAfee runs, it slows me down. And they don't realize that McAfee running is preventing all this other stuff that would slow them down more. Measuring that missed degradation is really hard for people to do and people to accept mentally, right? Just get that security stuff out of the way and let's just go do our job.
Cool stuff. Let's do more. Some of cool that is stuff. Needed. Yeah,
let's do more cool stuff. So from back to the DIB company thing, first thing, get your homework turned in.
Yeah.
Second thing is the new model, the CMMC, Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification. CMMC is the abbreviation that everybody uses for this, has five levels. Five is the highest and most expensive. And the DoD anticipates very few companies. This is going to be Boeing and Lockheed Martin, and those guys are going to have level five enclaves. Level one is the lowest. And level one only has 17 controls in it. So the idea here is the department wants to make a model where small and medium-sized businesses actually have a lower bar to cross than they would have under implementing all 110 controls of 171. 17 better than 110, right? So whether or not, but there's some, what kind of information you have drives what level you need to be at. So I think the second thing you need to do is look at CMMC and say, am I a level one? Am I a level three? Am I a four? Am I a five? What do I need to be?
Right.
You know, based on the contracts I have and my interaction with my clients and how sensitive I think the information I have from them is, everybody is going to have to be at least level one. What the DoD CISO has said is that if you mow the lawn at a DoD facility as a fifth tier subcontractor, you're going to have to be level one.
Oh, God.
Right? So that means you're going to have to do the 17 controls. You're going to have to be able to prove that you've done the 17 controls. And you're going to have to get somebody in to assess you that you have done the 17 controls and vote and say they're good.
My ears and my nose are bleeding right now.
Yeah, I know that's it. It's a heavy burden for small business, small and medium sized business. It's just one more thing in the government contracting space that is massively bureaucratic already that you have to do. Now, for me, I think this one is really needed. I think there's a lot of bureaucracy in the DOC space that is low to zero value add. It's just unfortunate BS. And we honestly have kind of trained ourselves to try and avoid as much of the unfortunate BS as possible, right? You know, we are doing OJ Simpson moves on the field to try and get away from these requirements wherever possible. In this particular case, because I think cyber is so important, because we are clearly being hacked so often, I think we really need to take a look at this and go, okay, what do I need to do these 17 controls if I'm level one? And they're not exceptionally hard, but they do need to be done, right? I need to have antivirus on all my endpoints. That's a requirement. Not everybody's doing that.
At a basic, you should. I mean,
yeah, right. No, that's one of the level one requirements, right?
Right.
I need to know what all the assets are on my network. I gotta have a list. I gotta know. That's not easy because we don't
need it.
But we need to do that because how do I know that I have antivirus on everything if I don't have a list of what everything is? Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's funny because when I would travel and get on property and I'd find their network. They didn't have any real way of, I would get on their network. I would be a foreign endpoint on their network and nobody really knew about it, but I was surfing the net.
You can plug in, right? A lot of companies have gotten better by having guest networks and that's become more common, but there certainly was a day and a lot of companies wireless harder than wired. I think a lot of companies have gaps in the jacks on their wall where you could walk into the conference room that's outside the wire and jack into their network and sit there and, you know, be on the network, right? There's certainly opportunities to do that. So I think the 17 controls are pretty basic. They are they're absolutely in the fundamentals category, but you're going to have to do them. You're going to have to do like asset management, right? I'm going to have to show that I know and I have a process for that. That takes work. That's going to take time. That's going to take documentation. So those things are going to be important. Right. And particularly as a small and medium-sized business, I think you probably want to help making sure that you're doing that right.
All right, listeners, we're going to have to wrap this up. Unfortunately, we can keep on going and going. Here's a couple of things that I want you to make sure that you remember. First off, if you're a business, just a business, you don't have to be a DOD, you don't have to have a government contract, just a business alone, you better have your cybersecurity, at least some strategy behind that. Yes, it might be painful, but the other option, there are people that are looking for you and then they can cause you a lot of pain and agony. So at least something like Vincent, that's a good contact to know. If you're in the government space, someone like Vincent, it's a good person to know whether you like it or not, whether you're enjoying the flavor of what we're talking about. I can't help you with that. It is a reality and it is never, ever, ever going to stop. It's never. So you get to either embrace it or stick your head in the sand and not. I wouldn't want you to do that. But right now, doggone it, contact Vincent. That's the easiest solution for me. That's it. There.
I appreciate it, Scott. Thank you much.
Thank you. All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. That means all of the contact information for Vincent. That means all of the information that you need to know to get your cybersecurity act in gear. I feel like I'm preaching. But anyway, do not go away. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
What did I tell you? Vincent Scott absolute knows what he is talking about when it comes to cybersecurity. Now, he's got a website called CyberSecGRU. So you get it. You get the cybersecurity guru in that domain name. It'll be out there at industrialtalk.com. Remember, the company's name is Defense Cybersecurity Group. You will not be disappointed. Go out to his LinkedIn stat card. Reach out to him. He's active out there. He's got some insights. And I'm telling you right now, you take advantage of that, gent, because he's not going to let you down. And you need it, man. Industry 4.0. It's all out there. All right. We're building a platform. We're building a platform, again, to continue to celebrate you industry professionals, industry's heroes, industry's
that are changing lives and are changing the world. Go out to industrialtalk.com. Get everything you can. It's an open book. Have a grand old time. Thank you again. Hang out with people who are bold, brave, and daring greatly. And I'm telling you right now, your world will change. Thank you very much. And we're going to be back with another great interview shortly.